Marvel Maniacs. Welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 76, and we are recording this on December 9th, 2019. Thank you very much for joining us. And in fact, we apologize immensely for not having an episode out to you last week. We were traveling and doing family things and holiday things and new puppy things and all sorts of stuff.
Life.
Yeah, yeah. So it just never happened. We weren't able to pull it together. But we are here this week. We have one regular and one returning guest. I'm going to let them introduce themselves and tell us what their favorite Christmas movie is. Ladies first.
Okay, so I'm going to go with a classic, The Polar Express. Love that movie.
Nice.
Love the hot chocolate song. Always makes me want to drink hot chocolate.
You missed one important part, though. You have to introduce yourself.
I have to introduce myself. Well, hello, people listening. My name is Asha Henley. I've been on here before. It was back in the summer. But, yeah, I run the Black Widow movie page on Instagram, unofficial, and across all platforms on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr. So check it out.
And you've been busy lately.
I have been actually very busy, especially since
you
finally dropped that teaser trailer last week and then dropped another poster and another thing. It's like,
all sorts of stuff. Absolutely. And we're going to talk about that in this show. And the other melodious voice that you heard is John. Hi, John.
Hi, Tim. Hi, Asha. How are you? And so, you know what? I'm going to deviate because that's kind of the day I've been having, Tim, so I'm not going to go with my favorite Christmas movie, but I will say we watched The Santa Claus last night.
Good movie.
Absolutely. You know what? And I'm not a big remake fan, but the special effects and CGI on that were so bad. I kind of watched that. I was like, you know what? I think this would be an awesome movie to remake and like kind of bring it up into a little bit more modern with the special effects and everything else. They don't need to. I mean, a great kind of forgot how good that movie is.
It really is. It's a good movie. I don't mind the special effects in it. I mean, some things that are, you know, a little kitschy, but it works for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine, but it's like, you could do it with so much cooler effects nowadays. And like, I'd even take it, redoing it where, I mean, enough time has passed where, like, bring that kid actor back if he's still acting or someone that looks like him and let him take over and do it now and do the story. Like, he's got a kid and he takes over for his dad.
Oh, okay.
And Feige.
Not a bad idea.
Feige, it's a Disney property. Here's another gem for you. I keep tossing you gems.
I was actually going to suggest that Bruce Banner takes the leading role.
I mean, sure.
In that movie. And we have Santa Hulk.
But, that'd be interesting.
You know what? But actually, weirdly, this would be the one time I think I'd be okay with Fat Thor.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, that would absolutely work. That would absolutely work.
All right. I might actually do an edit of that. Thanks for the idea. That's
the word. Like holding Mjolnir as he's going down. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
Writing it down.
So mine is White Christmas.
Okay. Very good choice.
Has been for years. Love the movie. I'm a big World War II buff, so I love stuff within that era, and the story of the whole thing is fantastic. And still, you know, like, we'll put it on when we decorate the Christmas tree, and we probably watch it like 4 or 5 times during the season, and truly tears every single time. Every time.
That's understandable, though.
Every time. Such a good movie. Love that movie.
I feel like
some people are like allergic to it because it's black and white. It's not black and white, but because it's an old movie. And really, I mean, there's no reason to avoid it because it's an old movie. It's a great story.
I mean, and I feel like, Tim, it's appropriate. I mean, it's an old time. You can cry to those.
Oh, yeah. And I do. And I'm not ashamed of it, John. Not ashamed of it. All right. So, of course, folks know they can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. We definitely appreciate you leaving reviews and telling other folks about us. It actually kind of amazing over the last few weeks and a bunch of the travel that I've had, have had opportunity to talk about this show and other shows on the network to different people that I've encountered, everywhere from different states to Target. Actually, Eric was up here for Thanksgiving and we went out on Black Friday and we found ourselves in Target. And just for the heck of it, we were looking through some of the Star Wars stuff there to see what they had. And the guy who works in Target in, excuse me, dealing with all the toy stuff, he was there and like, we're looking through things and he could tell that like, we were really into Star Wars stuff. And like, he starts talking about it. We're talking about it and we get into this great depth of it. And then we're like, well, hey, this is what we do. And he's like, oh, you know what? I used to do a podcast on collectibles. And we're like, oh, really? And he's like, yeah, we might start that back up again. So gave him our information. You know, he gets a hold of us. We'll do a shout out for him, that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's always cool. Just word of mouth. Get it out there.
Absolutely. Very cool.
Certainly, if you want to, if you like what we're doing, you can contribute to the network in a bunch of different ways. You can contribute financially directly through Patreon. Go to randomchatter.com/Patreon. You can buy Random Chatter merchandise. So we have logo stuff for Random Chatter and for Echo Base and for this show and for DC Talk. Go to randomchatter.com/store. And you can get all sorts of stuff there from TeePublic. Christmas is right around the corner. Hanukkah is starting soon. Whatever your particular holiday of choice is, you can get stuff for folks. And it is not too late to have it shipped in. So definitely give that a shot. And we'd certainly appreciate if you join us over on Discord. You can kind of continue the conversation over there for free. Go to randomchatter.com/Discord. That gets you into our public lobby and our show channels. But any contribution through Patreon will get you full access to our Discord community. And we'd love to have you join us. We actually had two people join us just in the last 24 hours. A couple of new folks over there. One of which does listen to Guardians. And if had thought about it, I would have remembered their name to give them a shout out. But I did not. But new Discord person, welcome to Discord and thank you for listening. We appreciate you and we value you. And it's John's fault that
No. It's Lizzie's fault. By network policy, everything falls to her. She's not here.
That is true.
I'm is blameless. True. Today.
Today. All right. That's it for our preamble. On to the news. So a lot of our news comes from Kevin Feige last week being at the Comic-Con experience in Brazil called CCXP. This was a big thing. It was announced like maybe 2 or 3 days before CCXP that Feige was going to be down there. And so he did, he had a whole big thing that he did. They don't have a room as big as Hall H there, but that room was apparently packed and folks were really, really psyched about this. And Feige did what Feige does. He just does this like constant, here's something on this movie and here's something on that movie and then this movie and that movie. And he's got videos showing stuff behind him and there were trailers and some of it was just raw footage and some of it was just logos and imagery and talking about all sorts of stuff. So, and then of course he did interviews afterwards. So there's all sorts of great stuff, coming from Kevin, and you know, shout out to Kevin. Hi, Kevin. Cause you know, Kevin is a big listener of this show. He's a huge fan, listens to it every week. Thank you, Kevin. Only he could dispute that.
It's true.
Just saying. And he hasn't yet. So clearly he must listen to us, right?
Obviously.
Yeah, I think so. So he was talking about one of the things that he was talking about was basically his formula for these MCU movies. And, you know, people are talking about Since we're closing out the decade here, we're in November of 2019. We're finishing up a decade. And, you know, you, of course, see a whole bunch of things going on about, you know, what were your favorite things of the decade and the best things of the last 10 years and all that kind of stuff. Well, the MCU.
Yeah.
I mean, duh. It took place in this decade. I mean, 23 movies, this whole collection of 23 movies in 10 years in the same franchise is nuts. It's never been done before. It's awesome. And it's just great. So if someone asks me what the best thing out of the last 10 years is, I'm simply going to say the MCU. That's my answer. So he says, I'll let you in on a secret. You just got to make a great movie. You have to work real hard to make a great movie. People didn't know Iron Man. I think some of you might have known Iron Man. The people at the biggest pop culture festival in the world knew Iron Man before he made the movie. I think he's talking about San Diego Comic-Con there. But most of the movie-going audience of the world didn't. And that's really what it was. You know, he took a chance. They grabbed a character. Obviously, you know, we've talked about this before. They had some limitations because of licensing rights in terms of what characters they could use. They couldn't get the X-Men. They couldn't use Spider-Man. They couldn't use the Fantastic Four. They were left essentially with the properties that no one else wanted when they put these up for auction. And they said, hey, what are we going to do? Now, I mean, to say that no one knew Iron Man, Iron Man's a pretty prolific character. I mean, like several hundred issues of the original Iron Man comic.
But he wasn't as name brand. Like, people knew him. They could probably pick him out of a lineup. But he wasn't a Spider-Man. He wasn't a Wolverine. He wasn't even like a Captain America. I mean, he was. And that makes me think. I mean, I can remember when the first Iron Man came out and being a guy who read comics and mostly the X-Men, some Avengers. I mean, I knew who Iron Man was. I obviously knew who Robert Downey Jr. was. But I was still like, meh. I mean, why are they starting this way? And then seeing the movie, and I was like, oh, I see. I see what you're doing here.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, I do agree with a lot of what he, you know, kind of he says, and it's, and I do think for a lot of people, it is hard to think of, you know, 10 plus years ago, you know, people's knowledge of who Iron Man was.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I guess he wasn't, you know, an A-list comic book hero, but you know, there's a lot of people who are saying, oh, you know, he's a B-lister. I don't know that he's necessarily a B-lister.
A-minus.
I mean, very, very prolific in comics. But, yeah, I mean, it was certainly a good start for them.
Absolutely.
And so he actually went on to say, kind of going from that start, he said when we first started the MCU, it was all about Tony Stark. Introduced the world to Tony and that Iron Man armor. Then we went on to teach people what Asgardians were and learn about super soldiers and bring them together in Avengers. I've always loved space movies and I've loved big intergalactic tales, which is why we did Guardians. And the audience came with us so we could do a movie like Endgame. I always wanted to do time travel, which we finally got to do in Endgame. The multiverse is the next step in the evolution of the MCU.
Yes.
And Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is going to crack it open in ways that have repercussions for a Disney Plus series before it that's not WandaVision, and for movies after it in a big fun way.
Interesting.
So that last statement there, that Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness is going to crack it open in ways that will have repercussions for a Disney Plus series before it that's not WandaVision. So we've already talked about WandaVision having some lead in to Doctor Strange. But we also know that the Loki show is going to have some time travel in it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, I think, a lot of potential here to also have some kind of tie in the next Doctor Strange movie with the Loki series, which is then even more interesting by bringing him into this.
Well, I mean, it would make sense, and I give credit where credit's do. I think DC and the Arrowverse has done an amazing job showing that I don't think they call it the multiverse because they'd have to call it something different just because everything has to be different.
Other worlds or something?
Well, they've got the different Earths and everything else. They've shown that you can have that in television. I can't say movies because they haven't done it in the movies, but you can have it in television and people follow along. And it doesn't necessarily turn people away. I mean, their entire, you know, crisis, you know, on Infinity Earths going on right now, which I'm not going to lie, I'm excited to see. I missed the kickoff the other night. But it is they've built up to it. This is going to be a movie level type of event and people are okay with it. So kudos to DC for going with it and buying in. And I think I can't help but think Marvel and Feige have seen him and like, oh, okay, we can kind of delve into this and it'll be okay.
Mm-hmm. Asha, what are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, especially with the fact that they're bringing Tom Welling back from Smallville. And I grew up with Tom Welling as my Superman. So it's kind of nostalgic for me. And so, yeah, I definitely would enjoy, in, 5 years or something, they bring back the original Avengers in a multiverse.
Yeah. I mean, and they can do so. I mean, they could, and just seeing what they've done, not saying that Marvel will do it, but they could do something fun where talk to Chris Evans, have him pop up as Johnny Storm. In a little cameo in the multiverse, how much would people lose their minds for that throwback to see an older Chris Evans, Johnny Storm, knowing what he then did with the, you know, character? I mean, and again, capitalizing on what DC's done, hell, throw Michael B. Jordan in there too and have the two Johnny Storms, like, because they have connections elsewhere in the MCU. And just make it a little bit of a nod. Don't make it like, I mean, they brought back, oh God, now I'm drawing a blank on his name, the original Robin from the 60s Batman. But I mean, they.
Not Adam West, that was Batman. I can't remember his name.
Regardless, they brought him, and I saw like a little proof of it, print of it. They brought him back into this DC thing. And, like, he's wearing, like, a red sweater with, like, yellow and green trim on it. Like, in the nod to, you know, Robin. And he says, holy something in it. I mean, you can do fun nods, you know, to kind of bring in and out some of these characters and actors and actresses to play around with it. So, I mean, I'm glad to see they're doing it. But I'm also, I was very clearly wanted them to use the multiverse to solve the Thanos problem. So I've been pro multiverse for a long time.
Me too. Ever since Black Widow died, of course.
I mean,
I need another version of her.
Absolutely. And I mean, a great way to, you know, bring, you know, her as Scarlett Johansson, you know, in and out, depending on what she wants to do and what she feels up for. I mean, and you can do it in the TV shows, you know, and still tie them to movies. There's a lot of possibilities you can do with this to make connections and further storylines.
I'm interested in it. I like time travel stuff, but I am always wary of it because if it's not done well, like it's really bad. It's one of those things where very rarely is there like an okay time travel movie. It's either really, really good or it's really,
but see,
really
these
bad.
These don't have to necessarily be time travel, Tim. They're alternate universe. Yeah. You can have the same time and just things slightly shifted. Mm-hmm. They almost become more of a what if kind of scenario. And let's not lie. If all of a sudden they did a, you know, a multiverse shift to noir world where you had the Avengers noir, you'd lose your ever freaking mind.
Yeah, I would. That is true. That is 100% yeah. true. So this whole potential for things with Loki being tied in, timing wise, does work because the release dates that they've put out so far for WandaVision and for Loki are both spring of 2021. Mm-hmm. The release date for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is May 7th, 2021.
Okay.
So if they're putting these two series out and maybe they're going to run them at the same time, maybe they're going to run them very tightly back to back. If they start kind of late winter, early spring, they can definitely get both of these in prior to Doctor Strange. And it would be interesting to see. I mean, I'd like both of the shows to kind of stand on their mm-hmm. own. I don't know that I necessarily want to see any interplay in there because I think there's enough of a great story for Loki and there's enough of a great story for Wanda and Vision. And I think, you know, they're also two very different, definitely from what we know about the WandaVision show, that it's like this very specific subgenre of like sitcom and weird, like psychological stuff, you know, and I mean, Feige has confirmed that we are definitely going to see Wanda turn into the Scarlet Witch in this show. So there's going to be like a lot of really significant things that are going to happen. And of course, everyone loves Loki and Tom Hiddleston's depiction of him is fantastic. Amazing. I mean, he is like the absolute greatest. Yeah. He's the greatest anti-hero in the entire thing. And especially when, probably one of my biggest complaints about Marvel is that they kill off villains way mm-hmm. too early. And quite honestly, I don't think they should ever kill off villains at all. You know, you something mysteriously happens to them or they get sent to the raft or something like that, which always gives you potential to have them come back. But I hate this. Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, that villain's dead. It's gone. The story's over with. Well, no, you could have used that villain again in another movie. It drives me nuts. But the fact that they have continued to perpetuate Loki has been phenomenal.
Well, and I think that, Tim, to your point, her transformation, I want to go back to Scarlet Witch for a minute, her transformation into the Scarlet Witch and just seeing the, you know, kind of snapshot leaked photo, whatever you want to call it, from Scarlet Vision or WandaVision, I'm sorry.
WandaVision.
Close. I could see that taking a, I mean, if she's brought Vision back in her way to warp reality, and it comes all kind of crashing down. And some, I mean, because it has that very kitschy, you know, sitcom look, you know, of the quote unquote, mm-hmm. And I want to say quote unquote, like the perfect world. And yeah. I'm literally folks using air quotes because I know it wasn't, but also having grown up on the I Love Lucy's, the Bewitched, the old yeah. black and white sitcoms. Yeah. Wow. I just made myself very old. But, you know, I could see like something happening where she realizes that's not a reality and her kind of warping transformation into it. I think it could turn into a cool kind of psychological thriller just in that show as well, too. So I'd be curious to see kind of what mm-hmm. they do with it. But to me, when I saw the photo from the Brazil show, I was like, there's something with that that's just going to twist and go bad. So, I mean, that's my guess on it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how it all comes together. So continuing on with CCXP, Feige did show some raw footage from the Eternals. It wasn't any kind of a teaser or trailer or anything like that. It was just a collection of different things. And they apparently hit on a lot of the main characters with it. This is nothing that, at least from what I've seen, has not been that actual footage has not been around the interwebs. I don't know. Asha, have you seen any video of it?
I haven't seen anything from there.
Okay. I've seen some narrative descriptions of it, and that's pretty much, you know, basically what they're saying is that it just kind of goes around to all the you know, different characters and such, and shows some things, a little bit of dialogue, shows some bit of their powers and traveling around different places around the world, that kind of stuff. And Feige says that the film is going to redefine and change the MCU. So it's interesting that he sets up time travel in the multiverse so much, and then also say and saying how much that's going to change the MCU, but then also talks about how much the Eternals is going to change the MCU as well. So, I mean, we have two significant forces in here, and, you know, they are putting a lot into the Eternals, when you, particularly when you look at the
chaos. I mean, the salary on that movie alone is going to be enormous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which, like, now they can only, they can finally afford it because they don't have to pay Chris Evans or Robert Downey Jr.
and they have Scrooge McDuck vaults full of cash.
Yes. Yes, they do. Which they swim in.
You're welcome, Marvel.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So it's going to be really interesting. And the Eternals, I think, is still the, you know, one of the things that, to say that a lot of people didn't know Iron Man, that's one thing. To say that people don't know the Eternals is completely different, because even I have very, very little familiarity with the Eternals. And so it's just, I don't know, it's going to be challenging. So I think one of the big things with them putting all the star power behind it is to really get butts in seats and to get people to see it. And I can't wait until trailers start coming out for it, because I think it's going to be a spectacle. I think it's something that people are going to be wowed by, and they're going to see this cast in these trailers. And I think, you know, faces are going to be really, really prevalent in these trailers, because they're pushing something that people don't know. So they have to get something that resonates with people. And that's how they're going to, you know, you stick Jon Snow on the screen, people are going to say, hey, I know that guy. And, you know, Angelina Jolie and Selma Hayek. And
why is it Jon Snow and not Kit Harington, but Angelina Jolie and not like Lara Croft?
Because Kit Harington is basically only known for being Jon Snow.
I mean, fair.
That's all I got for you.
I'm sorry, I just had to call her. I was like, wait, that's not his real name.
Also, he showed some images from WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier. Falcon and Winter Soldier has started some production. WandaVision, I think, is in some kind of the end of pre-production from what we know. So they may have like some establishing shots and that kind of stuff, but I don't know that they weren't nearly as in depth any filming
from the
Soldier. Yeah. Yeah. And we've seen a fair amount of things milling about the interwebs on Falcon and the Winter Soldier over the last couple of weeks. Some different set photos and that kind of stuff. Nothing hugely revealing. There's a mysterious woman that's been seen in the sets that no one quite knows what that role is. There's some speculation on it. But so far there's not really a lot that's coming out of it. So, yeah. So, you know, that's a lot of the interesting stuff that came out of CCXP, and it just has me, you know, more excited for all this stuff.
I mean, to me, it was a nice little pre Christmas present, because I didn't know that was happening or going on.
Yeah, no one really expected it. I mean, they knew there was going to be an MCU panel of sorts, but I don't think it wasn't public until just a few days prior that that Feige was going to be going down there. And like I said, when Feige goes, it's big. So yeah, they got a good show.
So that's it for the news, right?
yeah, that's it. The show's over. There's nothing else to talk about.
Really?
There's
Is there anything else to talk about?
Yes.
I don't know. Asha, yes, can you think of anything?
I'm here. I'm advocating for this.
Asha, while we would love to have you on any episode, I very specifically wanted you on this episode because of the Black Widow trailer that came out. So this dropped actually just prior to CCXP. So actually at CCXP, I guess they showed a little bit of other footage. And they had their own poster that they dropped down there for and such. But there was, I believe they also showed this trailer at CCXP and, you know, it got great reception. Of course, it's been just making its way around the internet with stuff. I mean, Asha, I know you recorded, you did what, two videos, right? Two reaction videos?
In like one,
On Instagram?
Yeah.
So tell, I mean, you are our Black Widow expert here. Tell us, give us your reactions to it. What do you think? What did you see? What do you feel? All that good stuff. Go.
Well, I'm just personally just excited that she's getting a movie. So sometimes I'm like, I really could care less what it's about, but she's getting a movie and that's like, that's all that matters. But no, I was excited to see her again and then see her in like different suits with a different hairstyle and all her, I guess her little family that she's have had that we didn't know about until now. And then the Black Widows, the other ones, I'm excited to see what they do. I'm excited for their scenes. I didn't like, I felt like that was going to be like from the past, but they look very modern. So I feel like they're going to have some sort of impact on the MCU as it is today and what we've seen so far. Mm-hmm. And then Kevin Feige said at CCXP something about Budapest. And I'm like, I hope it's something about past Budapest and not just 2016 Budapest, and figure out what happened with Hawkeye and Black Widow.
Yes.
Like, that's something that needs to be addressed, and I will be upset if it isn't.
Well, especially how many times they brought it up in the course of the movies.
Yeah.
You remember Budapest very differently.
Right. And he's like, oh, we're a long way from Budapest. Just like, okay, what did you mean?
There's a third reference to it, too, and now I'm drawing a blank on it. But it was in the first Avengers movie, Endgame, but there's one in Civil War when she's going to leak out Winter Soldier, when she's going to leak out all the files, General Ross mentions all of her secrets, including Budapest, will be released.
So Taskmaster looks interesting. People don't like it.
And I think I actually really liked it. And I liked the nod to, the first time we see him, he's got the bow and arrow, which is somewhat traditional to the comics and mimicking the skills of Hawkeye. Mm-hmm. And then later when we see him fighting Red Guardian, you see his shield kind of embedded in the floor. You know, for like the, you know, mimicking of Captain America. So, I mean, I liked the look. I liked he seemed very classic to the comics. Beyond that, I don't know much more, but I was like, yeah, I could buy into this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think so too. I think he's OT. I think he plays him because we didn't see his face in the trailer.
That could be it.
But then, like, some people have a crazy theory thinking that it's Clint Barton. And I'm like, that would be interesting, but I doubt that it is.
There's also another theory that it's actually Yelena.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that.
That was one of the early ones, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but I would rather see, and I kind of want Asha's opinion on this, is in the comics, Yelena, then after Natasha dies in the comics, Yelena takes the mantle of Black Widow. of, is this a way to set her up for future Avengers movie to take the mantle of Black Widow in future MCU movies?
Yeah.
I mean, her costume is very similar, especially in the family scene. It's almost identical to what Natasha wears in Infinity War, but white as opposed to black. Their study, the history. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily be opposed to it. If they want to have a Black Widow style character moving forward.
Yeah.
I would have, it's not a bad idea, John, but I would have thought that if they did that, and nothing against Florence Pugh, but I kind of would have thought that they maybe would have cast a bigger name actress to do that. Just simply because of the name itself. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not.
A theory that I have about Yelena is that she possibly dies because Black Widow wears her vest in Infinity War, and she also dyes her hair blonde. That's paying homage to her.
That's a different take than what I was saying in the reverse, is where she's got in this movie, she has the same as Natasha. So maybe that, as opposed to it being a nod, it's the fact that Natasha, wears it in homage to her. That's interesting. I had not thought about that.
Yeah.
That is very interesting.
Yeah, I noticed it.
And I hadn't noticed the vest.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and I hadn't drawn on the blonde hair, and you're right, between the blonde hair and the vest and the outfit, there's a lot of similarities.
And I noticed the vest with the D23 poster that Andy Park released. You could see she's wearing the same vest that Black Widow wears in Infinity War. And I was like, interesting. Yeah, maybe that happened.
All right. So I want to break down this trailer a bit, because we've thrown around some different names and stuff, and if people aren't familiar with who we're talking about, so I just kind of want to go through this, not like a shot for shot kind of thing, but overall the trailer is very, it seems to be very linear.
It does.
Like it kind of progresses like what you would think it to do through the timeline of the movie, at least with a lot of the major scenes.
Yeah, I would say everything except maybe the opening.
Well, even the opening of it. With the opening shows like some images of her early training.
It shows then
it goes to, it goes to images of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Avengers. She goes to Budapest, and then it kind of seems to get into the meat of what we expect the movie to be. So where we first see Yelena, the two of them fight. And the big thing here, I think, that we're getting out of this fight is that essentially they fight to a draw. Their fighting style is move for move exactly the same. They are essentially mirror images of each other. And so I think that, this goes back to this, what Asha was saying, the hair colors are opposite. The uniforms that they wear are opposite colors. Mm-hmm. So what we see between them is very much mirror image. And then, you hear Nat say this thing about unfinished business and going back to where it all started. And, we know that there's this thing about basically her roots and where she came from and how she was trained. And then, been mentioned a few times in the movies, the red that's in her ledger and her wanting to get rid of that. And so it definitely kind of equates to that. And then she also says it's going to be one hell of a reunion. You see a bunch of other women essentially dressed as Black Widows. I mean, they're all kind of in the same style of uniform, and they're the same like type of athletic build and that kind of stuff. So you're getting the sense that you have a bunch of these like, assassin women, and you have the shots of Taskmaster. You have the bit of comedy that comes in this with Red Guardian putting on his uniform. And then he even says family back together mm-hmm. again.
Which is interesting because you can take that line and the reunion line different ways. Because in the comics, Natasha and Red Guardian, whatever his name is, were married. So, yes. I mean, you can, you know, whether or not they introduced that or anything else, to me, it was, are they going to go that direction? Is that just kind of an Easter egg comment? We'll see.
Well, at the CCXP footage, it revealed that Red Guardian was married to Melina.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. So I guess they're not going to go unless he married her too, but.
Well, and he also very much seems like kind of a mm-hmm. father figure yeah. of sorts in this trailer. So yeah, it's a very interesting portrayal, at least that we saw a snippet of. And so for folks that don't know, where this movie takes place is right after Captain America Civil War. So if you remember back to Civil War, where Natasha essentially betrayed Tony to help Steve escape, and behind the scenes, the stuff we didn't see was that effectively made her an enemy of the U.S. government. And so that sent her out into exile. And so she ran. And so we kind of see a little bit of that in the trailer as well, where she's like in the train station and such. And so she went into exile, and now she's in presumably Budapest, which we think is where at least most of the film takes place. And so, you know, this film is essentially a period of time between Civil War and Infinity War. So talking about Red Guardian, Red Guardian is fundamentally the Russian version. I mean, in the comics, the Soviet mm-hmm. Russian version of Captain America. They were enemies. We see him kind of in here being basically a good guy.
I mean, for all intents and purposes, yeah. I mean, you don't know what Red's in his ledger, but I kind of agree. Right. A kind of father-esque figure. I mean, his comment yeah. about the suit still fitting, and then Melina going, "You got fat."
So, you know, I mean, it's obviously he hasn't worn the suit in a long time. So it does give you a sense that, yeah, this guy was probably really the Red Guardian. You know, he's now in retirement, but he was really the Red Guardian, like in the era of, mm-hmm. of Soviet Russia. So, you know, he was doing things as an operative when they were, you know, an enemy and all that kind of stuff. I feel really compelled to make a comment relative to what you just mentioned, John, in terms of her remarking that he got fat. Of course, there's crap going around the internet because you have certain people who have this fake moral outrage and they look to be offended. They seek to be offended. They want to be offended by God. And
then they create a change.org petition.
I would be surprised if they didn't by now. But basically what they're saying is that this is fat shaming and, hey, you know, they bring it back to the whole Thor thing. And, you know, again, they're making a big deal about this.
Do they not know that dad bods are in? I mean, he's got a dad bod. Yeah,
there's that. But, you know, it happens to practically everyone on the face of the planet that if you put on clothing that you haven't worn in 10, 15, 20 years, it's not going to fit the same way it did then. Simple fact. And for most people, it's because they gained weight. That's not fat shaming. That's life. And for who he believed to be his wife to say, well, hey, you got fat. Two people who are in a personal, intimate relationship who have good honesty between each other and maybe a little bit of ribbing. Yeah, that's a real life comment that's going to happen. People, get off your freaking high horses and just get in touch with some reality. You don't have to be offended by every freaking thing out there. stop. That was my soapbox.
Maybe he should get a Pendleton bike for Christmas.
Oh God, I hate that commercial. It's so weird. I see it all the time, and I'm like, "What is this?"
I mean, it helped her.
Have you seen, Asha, though, the aviation gin commercial?
I did see that. That was awesome.
And that is brilliant. That is epically brilliant. Ryan Reynolds is a genius. Full stop. All right. So we talked about Red Guardian. So we've been talking about this woman, Yelena. Yeah, Yelena Belova, who's played by Florence Pugh. And, you know, she's called Sis by Nat. Is she really her sister, or is this just kind of a familial, non-familial type of thing because they grew up together, because they trained together, whatever? Is it a sisterhood because of the community that they were in, or are they actually blood? We don't know that. We did get introduced to Melina, who's played by Rachel Vaisa. And as you mentioned, Asha, she is Red Guardian's wife, and that was revealed at CCXP. You mentioned Taskmaster and kind of some of the stuff with Taskmaster, and really the imagery on Taskmaster was fast. We didn't see a lot. There wasn't a lot of on-screen time. We're talking like less than a second for his stuff. Particularly the fight between Taskmaster and Red Guardian was so fast, I probably only caught it maybe the third or fourth time that I saw the trailer.
Yeah, no, I realized he fought someone, but who it was and everything else took me a couple of views as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, really the only like memorable shot I had was him coming out of the top of that like armored car and drawing the bow.
Yeah.
That was really like, that was the most noticeable thing of Taskmaster. We did see General Ross, and we had a couple of shots of like a military convoy. You had a whole bunch of Humvees and that kind of stuff. It looked like a desert kind of environment, very dry roads, that kind of thing. And then when we saw General Ross, it was kind of that same background. So very interesting that we had that and that Ross is showing up in this.
And I couldn't younger. Place his age. Yeah, he looked younger, but not like Infinity War younger.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Any theories or thoughts you guys have on that?
No, because it kind of dawned on me, even younger than like Hulk.
Yeah. True.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the same thing. No, like idea. He looks like de-aged, or they did something digitally with him, and it. I don't know. I don't know. So perhaps that's a flashback.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's. I can't say I'm extensively traveled over there, but it certainly doesn't look like that part's Budapest.
Yeah,
I've been to Budapest, but I don't remember much kind of desert and look like that around that area.
No. Considering it straddles a river and it is. it
almost kind of mountain forest esque.
Asha, any particular thoughts on the General Ross thing?
Well, his scene I think connects with the scene where she's like standing in the sun and then the cars are coming behind her, which also connects with the scene where she jumps off of something and the people are shooting at her. I remember them filming that. So I think those scenes could be connected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Asha, I have the feeling you're cheating. You're looking over to the side. Are you looking at the trailer?
I am looking at it. But like, I was thinking of this earlier because I was doing something for the page.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
There's a lot of similar backgrounds. The color palette is very similar. So yeah, I agree. Those things are probably connected, and I think that's probably part of the same scene. And yeah, I think it may be, given what we see or how we see General Ross, I think it's a flashback of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
either that or he's like gotten a really great skincare regimen.
He had a facial. It's cool.
The rumors still persist that we're going to have some kind of cameo from Tony Stark, which really, I mean, it's not entirely surprising. And whether it's part of the flashback or it takes place in essentially present time, I don't know that we're necessarily going to see him in person. It might be like a hologram or video communication of some sort. You know, it wouldn't, it even could be like a mid-credit scene where this is where, you know, Tony kind of extends the olive branch and says, hey, we need you to come back. You know, something's happening. Who knows? I don't know.
I could see it more either kind of flashback or something else, you know, as they kind of tie through her history, because she mm-hmm. was introduced in the Iron Man movies. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, I seeing the kind of the tone and the pace, I kind of hope they don't have him in there. I mean, I mean the, you know, the flashback scene of seeing Samuel Jackson and seeing Chris Evans, I could see another one and with Clint. And mm-hmm. now, Tim, I'm pulling you because I can't think of the actor's name. So, I mean, I could see them doing flashbacks, but beyond that, I don't think it's necessary.
You're talking Jeremy Renner?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I'm curious as to how much of the flashbacky stuff is actually...
It could be in it.
Well, footage that was filmed for other movies? Because when you think about it, like some of it, there was one shot that had, it was clearly in the helicarrier.
Well, no, it was actually, I watched another video that is actually the shot from the first Avengers movie when she walks them, she walks Chris Evans onto the deck.
Yeah.
The one from, from Winter Soldier, I don't remember being actually in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is in the movie.
Is it? Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All the scenes in the beginning are in the movie, or we've seen before.
Okay.
Gotcha. There is also as I mentioned, there is a poster for this that came out for CCXP. Presumably, all the folks who were in the room there probably had it handed to them while they walked out. And it's really cool. It's kind of an artistic rendering. It's Natasha basically from the neck up, you know, her face fully fills this, and it's kind of almost looks like it's painted mm-hmm. in really, really cool colors. You have a black and a lot of dark red that's in there and stuff, and a really cool contrast, really nicely done. I think it's a fantastic movie poster. I love that as a movie poster. I think it's great. And ScarJo herself, also says that it's a film about self-forgiveness and family. And I, you know, big themes for her, because she is concerned. She's weighed down through the whole time that we know her about the things that she has done previously in her life, right up to her mm-hmm. death in Endgame. I mean, that's one of the things that weighs into her decision of not only of Clint having a family, but she's like,
I stopped writing,
you know,
my letter.
I've done stuff. Yeah, you know, I've done stuff, and this is maybe my key to redemption and making a difference in the world. And also about family, because she even expresses that essentially the Avengers are mm-hmm. her family. Right. So it's a really, I think there's a lot of depth to that. I mean, it's a real simple statement, but I think it's really meaningful, and it carries through to the character considerably. So, anything else about the trailer you guys want to bring up?
No, you hit on all the points I kind of caught within it.
Well,
how about our Black Widow specialist?
Well, with the statement where she says, like, it's about family, I think it's just interesting that in Endgame, which we hear the voiceover in the beginning, how she's like, and then I got this family. And then when they're at the mm-hmm. table, he's like, family back together again. So, like, I wonder... what happened and why she doesn't have a family anymore.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, considering that this takes place before that, that's a real, that's an interesting point.
Yeah. Hmm. Maybe they all die. She's the only one that survives.
That's maybe. Maybe. Who knows? I have to think that there's going to be something, you know, is this just going to be a contained Black Widow movie that is not going to have any other ramifications past this movie? Or is something going to happen in this movie that potentially will have impact to future films?
At CCXP, Feige also said about Black Widow how it's going to set up the future of the MCU as well as the past. So maybe, I have no idea.
I can't imagine them trying to make this a one-off. I mean, they haven't done it to date.
I mean, it's certainly going to impact how we perceive the character and probably make it really interesting that, like, just because Marvel does so many things that are self-referential within their films. Yeah, they're all connected. So it's like they're going to have something in here that you're going to say, oh, yeah, that's something that, you know, she said or referenced back in the Iron Man movie when she was introduced, or that she said in the second Avengers movie, or, you know, something like that. There's going to be little things that are in there. And so then when we go back and we watch these other movies, we're going to have a better connection to her and to this film. But I'm hoping that this isn't, as you said, John, just a one-off. I hope it's deeper than that.
I can't imagine it would be. I mean, how it ties in, think of some of the things that we saw early on in, whether it be Iron Man or some of the early movies that we didn't see the payoff until years later. I mean, we could see, whether it's Taskmaster, whether it's Lana, who knows? But and especially Feige's saying it, you got to trust that we're going to see the payoff of this movie down the line.
Yeah. I mean, he has an incredible vision, and Feige doesn't do anything as a one-off. I mean, he likes to connect things. He plays the long game. It's like he gets the writers and directors to make a great single standalone movie, but then he has his influence that kind of weaves a thread throughout all of them. And then connects them all in these different ways. I mean, he just does this brilliant orchestration behind the scenes that I think is kind of, that's the subtle thing that I don't think he necessarily gets credit for, is really bringing a lot of those little connections together. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So just to wrap up the show, We do have a bit of other MCU news. We had mentioned early on when it was announced several months ago, one of the animated series over on Hulu, that being Tigra and Dazzler. Marvel has fired the showrunner and the entire writing staff.
Dang.
Yeah. So they've pretty much hit the reset button on that. The article I read seemed to kind of say, you know, hey, Hulu intends to continue on with it, but there's no source for that statement, so I don't really know if that's meaningful at all. Look, there's some questions here. There's some thoughts that I have on this, and you know, you guys can weigh in on it. But first of all, look, Kevin Feige is now in charge of Marvel TV. Jeff Loeb is essentially leaving at the end of the year. Will the other, I mean, there's this whole slate of animated Hulu shows. There was Tigra and Dazzler, MODOK, Hitmonkey, Howard the Duck, and then the team show of the Offenders. I think these are wild and crazy and out of left field, and I don't think that they're worth the production value. I have to think that Feige is going to, he's thinking that Loeb was like high on something. And I think Feige's going to tear them all down. I don't even know if Hellstrom is going to survive, to be honest. And Hellstrom is, you know, live action. It's not in this line, but since Feige has already pulled Ghost Rider back, hopefully for bigger and better things, there's not as much context for Hellstrom. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I've never been really sold on them trying to, for lack of a better term, create another universe on Hulu. I'd rather them put their money in growing Disney Plus. I know there's connections between the two, but putting really good, strong content there and then see what happens. But I mean, considering we're still waiting, you know, quite a while to get some Marvel content over on Disney Plus, I don't really care what they're doing on Hulu. You know, yes, I've got it as part of a bundle. Yay, I got Hulu, but I want to see more on Disney Plus. So give me Disney Plus.
Yeah, I agree. Just keep it on one platform.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually totally fine for putting some more kind of adult content over on Hulu. There is a concern that if they're going to be doing crossovers, that there can be some impact there, because then it's not as family friendly.
But I also don't see any of those shows necessarily as being necessarily more quote unquote adult. And I'm still struggling with how Hulu is more adult than Disney Plus when. I mean, maybe there are more parental controls on Hulu and I don't know about them, but, you know, a kid's still just going to click over and, you know, get access to it.
Well, but it's not branded as Disney. That's the thing. So this is Disney trying to protect their brand. So if it's going to be on something that's called Disney Plus, they're simply not going to put anything on there that's above PG-13.
You know, but I would, you know, rather see them... You know, don't go animated. I'd rather see them do something different then. I mean, there is not a single one of the shows on our list here that I care one iota about.
Yeah. Tigra and Dazzler, they've existed in Marvel Comics since the 70s, certainly. I don't know that they've ever, like, particularly done much. MODOK.
He is
a very prolific Iron Man villain. And if you're not familiar with MODOK, if you're not familiar with MODOK, but you are familiar with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, what was the name of the villain in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? The brain inside the body. I don't remember, but that's fundamentally what it is. Like, MODOK is like this little alien inside this floating thing, but like he's basically just a big head. That's like in this mechanical floating thing. I see the reason why they're doing it animated. It could have some potential in something live action, but now without Iron Man, MODOK is kind of irrelevant. The whole concept of Hitmonkey is stupid. Howard the Duck, that's fine. He made an appearance in Guardians of the Galaxy. Keep it at that. We don't need it.
No. I mean, quite honestly, the only reason I would watch any of these shows would be because I'd have to talk about them on the network. I mean, it would be a chore. There's not one. They have plenty of other content, plenty of other characters that they are not touching. Like, you know, this seems to be, you know, a Jeff Loeb, you know, special. And guess what? He ain't around anymore to run this, so
yeah.
Okay, Kevin, you use Shift and the arrow and highlight all these, and then hit the delete key, and problem solved.
and that's the thing. I'm inclined to think that Kevin wants to bring everything over to Disney Plus. He wants things to be cohesive. He doesn't want them fractured. Every TV show he's going to bring to Disney Plus, he wants it to have quality. And I think we're still going to see
animated stuff coming out
of Marvel and even relevant animated stuff, not stuff that's just like some offshoot thing that's non-canonical that's built just for kids. I'm thinking stuff that, like, comparatively on the Star Wars side is, you know, like Rebels or Clone Wars, that is highly relevant. It tells really good stories with great characters. And you know, I think there's a lot of potential for them to do that. But I think it's, if this is going in the direction that I think all three of us agree that it's going, yeah, Kevin Feige should just be hitting the delete button on this crap. Because it's clearly not being built for kids if they were going to put it over on Hulu anyway. And you have Howard the Duck, who's this more adult, edgy stuff, and their capstone project is called The Offenders. I don't know that this was ever for kids anyway. So, I mean, or at least not family friendly.
Hopefully we never get to know.
Yes.
What, you know, and yeah, you know, there are things that I don't mind not knowing, and that's one of them. Thank you, John. Thank you. So lastly, we have a little bit of did you know. First of all, Thor Ragnarok is now on Disney Plus.
Excellent.
The contractual run that Netflix had on it is over, and Disney Plus did not waste any time. They immediately hit the green button and put Thor Ragnarok up on their platform. Did you guys know that Chadwick Boseman actually initially auditioned for the role of Drax?
I did not.
John was so amazed that he just dropped everything.
Well, and I was trying to see what Kenzie was doing. Sorry. I did not know that, and I can't see that as a possibility.
No, he's Black Panther.
Yeah, that's yeah.
It obviously opened the door for him. I mean, they clearly liked. They liked him. They may not have liked his audition for that particular character, but they liked him. No,
Dave,
and they liked him well enough to bring him in a proper
role.
And
Dave Bautista is so perfect in that role.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really is. Yeah, each of them are perfect for the roles that they have been cast
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
And then the last one here, kind of rounding out this show, I think very appropriately. Did you guys know, I'm betting Asha knows, Asha knows everything about Black Widow stuff. ScarJo initially lost the role of Black Widow to Emily Blunt.
I can't see Emily Blunt in that role.
No.
Yeah.
Me neither.
So she,
I mean, she's
apparently
great.
Auditioned.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Visually I can see it, but no.
Yeah. So she had auditioned for it. Scarlett Johansson had gotten notice that she was not cast in the role. Emily Blunt had gotten it. And then, like, within a little bit of time afterwards, Emily Blunt actually had an offer for something else that she decided to take because, you know, comic book movies wouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And so she took the other role and, you know, she lost out on $40 gazillion that Scarlett Johansson now has. So ScarJo got the call back and they said, hey, congratulations.
And I also remember when she was first when Scarlett Johansson was first announced for it, I wasn't hugely excited for it either. I'm a huge Scarlett Johansson fan. And then I saw her in it. I was like, oh yeah, I'm okay with that. It had nothing to do with that fight scene. Nope. Nothing to do with that.
The Iron Man fight scene?
Mm-hmm.
Or you mean the fight scene that started off with her in the back of the car that Hap was driving?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yep. Sure.
Yep. Hall pass.
All right. So, Asha.
Yeah.
Any additional words that you want to add in before we close out?
Go see Black Widow 3,000 times. We need to make $1 billion. Support her. You can support her by supporting me. Uh-huh. You can check out my Instagram, which is at Black Widow Movie. Again, unofficial, but I post every day mostly, more than what Marvel has done for her. Just throwing a little shade. You can check out the Twitter, which is Black Widow Movie, but BLK. You can find me on Tumblr, Black Widow the Movie, and the Facebook page, which is Black Widow Movie. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Come support, have some fun.
And not to take away from your stuff, but you actually mentioned before we started recording that Marvel did finally release social media accounts for the movie. Officially.
Yeah, did they? Okay.
Yeah, the official Instagram is black.widow. It has a blue check, so you'll know. And then the official Twitter account is the Black Widow, which also has the blue check. And then I think they have a Facebook page as well, which is just called Black Widow. So you should be able to find that. They'll only have like 3 posts, which is what like they release everything. So yeah, support her through them too. To support her, however, I don't even care to support her.
But definitely follow Asha's pages. She posts awesome stuff. You do like a lot of custom artwork that you've done on there. You had your reaction videos that you did when the trailer first dropped. You have, you know, through the production of the movie, I mean, we had you on the show previously because you were getting some stuff about production of the movie and all sorts of good things. So you have awesome pages and I love the stuff that you post. Thank you. And thank you for coming on Guardians again. We appreciate
it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. John, any closing remarks from you?
I have no closing remarks. Except to send us,
all right, then take us
feedback,
out of here.
Questions, comments, and concerns. And you can reach us at guardians@randomchatter.com. And of course, through Discord, as Tim has mentioned. And you can also find us on Twitter at Random Chatter. Lizzie can be found at TWT About Lizzie. And Tim, where can they find you?
At Qui-Gon Tim, that's Tim with 2 M's. Hey, Kev, you know, tweet me. hit me up on the DMs.
And Asha, one more time where they can find you?
Everywhere, just Black Widow Movie. No blue check, but you'll see similar content.
Well, it sounds like more content. You can also find us, and you can find us over on Instagram at Random Chatter. I'm at _John Stewart, and Lizzie is at The Wonderful Thing About Lizzie.
And there it is, folks. Thanks for joining us, and we will catch you again in about a week.